would have magazines out like today?
Yes.
Unfortunately, not. Now, Athlon is due June 7th,
okay,
and Lindy's will be due probably somewhere around the same. Phil Steele will not budge from his schedule. We're still probably 2 to 3 weeks away from getting our first one. Yes.
And we are awaiting their arrival, because as always, we anticipate them to see where everybody's, you know, got the rankings, where we see people finishing, and then of course there's so much information. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a college football fan, which a lot of people in the area are, including myself along with you, Brent, we really anticipate these, because there's so much information that and credit that these writers deserve for researching the teams and being around the teams that you're not going to find anywhere else.
What makes it so difficult this year is the fact of you've had to redo these rosters constantly, and see, their normal deadline is before that May 1 deadline for the rosters. In other words, you've got to be wherever you're going by May 1. And the problem with that is they had to do it after that, Drew. I mean, that was important for them to use those week or two later on. So that made a big difference. So accuracy for them and these magazines this year is not going to be easy.
No, it is not. And I guess before we get to Jimbo and Nick Saban, speaking of power rankings and all that stuff that goes into it, Sports Illustrated recently came out with their preseason rankings. They got Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Texas A&M 3. They put LSU at 7 ahead of Tennessee and Florida. They put Mississippi State down at 10. They've got Arkansas actually behind Ole Miss. Arkansas, they got at 6, and Ole Miss, they've got at 5. If you were to outline where you think the top five in the SEC would be, at least right now, who would you put in that top five?
Oh, it'd be, I think you'd start with, Alabama, Georgia would be 1 and 2. Now, a lot of people are saying A&M would be 3. I'm not overly convinced that's going to happen with the losses that A&M had, particularly on the line of scrimmage. And again, A&M with Jimbo, for all his bluster, is basically an 8-4 team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's 3 at this point. I frankly would probably say 4 would be somewhere along in Arkansas. I think maybe 4. I think that might be fair, which is amazing to be able to look at that. Kentucky, probably 5. Some of this is amazing just to be saying it. Frankly, if you went one more, I think you could say Ole Miss. Now, frankly, Ole Miss could be anywhere from 4, 5, or 6.
Hmm. I think it's interesting too. Is there a team like how high would you have Tennessee, because they're a team that returns a lot of production, but the way that they run their offense, is that something that is going to garner success, or the way that Josh Heupel does things? Do you think that Tennessee may fall a little bit further down that list than maybe the top half?
Well, they won't offensively, because Hendon Hooker comes back, which is a real plus for them now. I know ESPN had South Carolina's 25. Spencer Rattler or not, I'm not sure I buy that yet. I would have to see it. I think Tennessee's a better team than South Carolina at this point. So, but again, for Tennessee to be who they want to be, they would have to be much better defensively.
Yeah, and is that the thing that's interesting, too, about, like I said, the way that Tennessee play, they pound the ball down your throat today. They like to move quickly. Is that something that actually can hurt your own defense? Because if you say they're playing Alabama and Alabama goes on a six-minute drive, Tennessee goes right down the field and they end up kicking a field goal in a minute and 30 seconds, and then their defense is right back on the field again. I mean, by the time you get to the third and fourth quarter, I mean, your defense has spent so much time out there on the field. If you need a stop, I don't know if you'll necessarily be able to get it.
No, you really won't. Your defense at that point will be gashed, and they will be worn out. So that's what they've got. So they've got to work on their depth, and they've got to work on being able to I don't know if you want to say slow it down necessarily, but there are frankly times, Drew, that they need to run the ball more and run more of a clock and be able to help their defense.
Again, going through some of the SEC power rankings here with Brent Beard of First Coast News and co-host of the SEC and Helping Podcast. I want to jump now to Jimbo and Saban. Obviously, I mean, you almost knew this conversation was going to come up. But how surprising were you that Nick Saban went as far as he did in his comments, calling out Dion a little bit, calling out Miami, and then calling out Texas A&M? And were you more surprised by Saban doing that, or are you more surprised by how far Jimbo Fisher went in his response the next day?
I was probably more surprised that Saban went as far as he did in naming names, and that's what he apologized for when that happened. So, but he still got his message across, and the message basically was that he wanted his school to do something with these to deal with this NIL situation. In something to get done, with obviously within the rules. So he did what he wanted to do. I think some coaches wanted him to talk about this when he got the opportunity, and that's what he was able to do. So, frankly, Jimbo's just been a spoiled brat, what it amounts to, with this. Jimbo would have done himself a lot of good if he would have just sent out a statement that said something to the effect of, with respect to Coach Saban, we want to make it clear, that we have done nothing, illegal. And again, they haven't, So we want to make sure that the people are aware of that. And he basically doubled down on it on Friday with the local television station by coming out in San Antonio, that he said only one of 11 of their guys only one of 11 we have in place that came early. One guy has an NIL deal. So the story you've been hearing are complete lies. So he kind of goes into that again. I'll be fascinated to see, Drew, what the league does in the meetings in Destin this weekend to kind of get Jimbo's attention about this. Jimbo doesn't have to be this reactive with it at this point, but these collectives are a problem. And I thought Greg Sankey summed it up well when he said, there are some concerning trends. We're not seeing name, image, and likeness activity. We're seeing just straight payments. That's the problem.
Right. Yep, it is. Well, and I think, too, I don't know if you caught what a Deion Sanders had to say in a little bit of a response, but he appeared on a podcast. And there's one thing that I talked about this on my Friday show, but he said, I didn't want to emotionally react to this. I needed to take time to think about this in a professional manner. And that's something that already separated himself from Jimbo, where Deion took his time, made sure that he wanted to say the proper thing, and then, as opposed to Jimbo, where he might as well have just had the press conference that night, because it didn't sound like he had any sort of preparation or maybe even got a talking to from A&M, like, hey, you know that go into this with some clarity as to what as to what you're going to say, because I mean he just came out and started spewing and it didn't stop for 9 minutes.
No, he made a real mistake by doing that. Now look, he I'm sure he endeared his fan base toward him.
Sure.
But the pressure's also on Jimbo. Jimbo right now is an 8-4 football coach at A&M, and his record is exactly the same after 48 games as Kevin Sumlin. So Jimbo's got a lot to prove, but let's just be honest about that, Drew. He really does. So, and you're right. The way he handled that, and again, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, that just sounded like a spoiled brat. I mean, it was all, I'm on the defensive. I'm defending myself here, when what he should have done was to have dealt with a lot more of the NIL situation than he did, just to try to clear any misconceptions that what may have happened with him.
It certainly was a very fascinating thing, and I'm sure, obviously, as you mentioned, with the spring meetings coming up now and then media days as well, this is going to be a talking point throughout the rest of the summer as we look ahead to October 8th. I do want to jump to softball. So teams are now advancing into the Super Regionals. We did see a couple of upsets, though, with SEC teams, or involving them at least. Alabama not making it for the first time in quite a while. Tennessee also losing out, but other teams advanced, like Mississippi State pulling off a stunner against Florida State, who is the number two team in the country, Brent. Really impressive from the Bulldogs.
That was a big win for State, to say the least. Florida got a big win, and therein, the Alabama thing was stunning to me. But when you really look at what happened with them, Bama had trouble hitting the ball and driving runs in the last month of the season, and that really came back to haunt them. I checked on a little bit of this from someone who would know, and they also thought that the problem with Alabama was they were just so young. And I think what happened too, Drew, in that doubleheader yesterday, the second game, Montana, who really pitched brilliantly in the first game, just ran out of gas. So, I mean, they'll be back, but to your point, that was the first time Alabama had not advanced to the Super Regionals, I understand, Drew, since about, I think it was 2005.
As crazy of a situation as that is, again, Stanford winning that elimination game 6-0. Again, Brent saying that it seemed like they did just run out of gas a little bit. I want to jump to baseball real quick before I let you go. SEC tournament starting this week. Who is your favorite to win the SEC this year?
Probably Tennessee again. I think they're playing real well. As a matter of fact, the tournament starts tomorrow. They've got Alabama and Georgia right off the bat. I believe it's 10:30 Eastern time is when they first start playing. So hopefully Florida will play better. I mean, most everybody knows what they've got to do at this point in order to get to the tournament, but or get the postseason play. But hopefully that they'll have a decent crowd. But again, the league's gonna be really good again in baseball. There's no doubt.
Absolutely. Well, Brent, a pleasure as always. You have a fantastic rest of your week, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Always. Thanks, bud. Take care.